Good morning, church. The reading this morning has always been one of my favourites. My grandmother used to read it to me, and I always think it's such full of hope. And it's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Thanks be to God for his word.
So this morning, we will be picking up on an Advent theme, but in light of our series, we're looking at, we began last week thinking about the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, hopefully you can see it. I like that font. Just looking at it, chose it well. The silent worker of Christmas. The silent worker of Christmas. How many of you know people who do things that means things just happen? Do you know people? Yeah, I've got a few people here. Yeah. Perhaps in your work, in your sports or social club, in your family, even in the church. People who get overlooked just because they ensure those basic tasks are carried out with no desire for recognition. Do you know people like that? I do. I bet we can all think of situations when this may have been evident and no one really knows who does the job. Jobs just get done, enabling things to run really smoothly. When we think about Christmas, we often picture the manger, the shepherds, the angels, and the star. But there is a quiet, often overlooked person in the story. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. At Christmas, the Spirit is not loud, not flashy, not front stage. He works in the background. We did a pantomime.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Well done, Tony. A few Christmases ago, we did a pantomime. And Paul Sexton was dealing with it. He was the one organising it.
Still recovering.
Best bit. The best bit was that there were people who went, oh, you're doing one next year? We might have a bit of a wait. But again, we had people who were on the backstage. They cleared things, they did things to make things happen. You know, on a Sunday morning, we've got people who stand at the back who ensure that the computers are all working, that the screen's there. You know, there's not a big sign with arrows pointing to say, we are brilliant sort of thing. It's just, they just get on with it. And often when things don't, you know, often when things don't quite work, I know what happens because I used to, when I'm in previous churches, I've done it. Everybody turns round and you're thinking, what do you know? I'm doing my best. But you know what I mean? There are people who do things that on the whole, you don't really know. The people that clean the toilets. You know, we don't. And actually, isn't it in society, there are things where they do this. Oh, let's have a good day when we celebrate people who perhaps are just in the background. Companies do that sometimes. They make an effort, so they recognise actually the contribution of that person is just as valid as the director. So at Christmas, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not loud, not flashy, not front stage. He works in the background, but his fingerprints are everywhere. Over the last few Christmases, as a family, we've been headed off to Belton House. Do you know where Belton House is? Good, I think most of us do. If you don't, it's up near Grantham. It's a National Trust property. A company come and borrow their site and they set up lights and stuff like that. There's a light show. And what I find breathtaking is when you see the trees that you see in the summer, without leaves on, but they're big trees and they're all lit up. And you can see the star and the trees behind it are all lit up. You don't see the light. You see the light that's on the trees. The trees glow with warm light, yet the lights are hidden. You don't see the lamps, you see what's being illuminated. And that is the Holy Spirit. You don't see him in the nativity, but you see everything he lights up. At Christmas, the Spirit lights up Jesus. He prepared for Jesus. He brought Jesus into the world. And he reveals Jesus to us today. So let's look at these simple truths. Firstly, the Holy Spirit prepared the world for Christ. The Christmas story doesn't begin in Bethlehem. Shock, horror. It begins centuries earlier, when the Spirit moved the prophets to speak. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If we look at the words of Isaiah, we discover it was a Spirit who whispered the promise, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. Isaiah 7:14. It was a Spirit who said a shoot would rise from the stump of Jesse. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Christmas wasn't an accident. It was a long-awaited promise breathed out. Everybody, take a deep breath in and then breathe out. Breathed out by the Spirit. Luke 1, 41, 45 says this. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise in her." Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, recognized the Messiah in Mary's womb. And we can see that in Luke 1, 67 to 79, when Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, prophesied about the coming Savior. Every time someone understood what God was doing, the Spirit was there. Think of a farmer.
Yep, tractor.
Think of a farmer preparing soil. Long before the seed is planted, the ground must be softened, stones removed, weeds pulled. Good soil doesn't happen by chance. Do you know that? I do. My dad was a gardener, and my brother's taking it on from him. So they prepare the soil. It doesn't just happen. You might turn up to someone. If I moved to a house with somebody, had worked on the soil, then I would appear like that. It'd be great. But if you can, our soil is not like that. It takes preparation. It takes time. It doesn't just happen by chance. In the same way, the Holy Spirit prepares hearts before Christ is born in them. You see, the silent worker prepares us today. Before we hear the gospel, the Spirit stirs something inside us. Before we repent, he shows us our need. And before we trust Christ, he opens our eyes. Some of you may remember when God started working in your heart before you got saved. Convictions, questions, a hunger for truth you couldn't explain. We sometimes hear these sorts of statements in our Alpha or Christianity Explored courses. Oh, I've got this, just something there, a niggle. So I'll come along to find out. Christmas reminds us God prepares hearts before he changes hearts. So the silent worker prepared. The silent worker brought Christ into the world. No doctrine is more central to the Nativity than the virgin birth. Jesus' conception was a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:35 says this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The incarnation isn't just beautiful, it's supernatural. God stepped into humanity. The eternal Son took on flesh. And the Spirit made it happen. Mary and Joseph responded, didn't they, with Spirit-enabled faith. Mary says this, "Be it unto me according to your word." Joseph obeyed the angel's message, delivered through a Spirit-given dream. Now, I've used this illustration before, but it's one that we always use. If you've ever tried assembling furniture without instructions, you know how confusing it can be. It can be anything. You could even say, I can open up a car bonnet, and you can go, oh, it looks very confusing to me, but someone who's got the know-how can go in and go, that's what's the problem. It's a lot harder now because they're all like, you plug something in and it tells you. When it was an old-fashioned car, my first ever car was a Ford Escort Mark II, second edition. So it wasn't the really simple. It was quite nice actually. It was an estate. So it was like only had two doors. So you had to sort of think. Sorry, it's a car. Yeah, but you know. Anyway, but first is always my favourite. Anyway, so that was. But it was like you just don't. I couldn't. At least there I could bolt something off because I did have a few dents. You can bolt the panel off and put a new one on. Whereas now you can't do any of that. And it had a manual choke. Yeah. Everybody out here know a manual choke? Young people go, manual choke? What's a manual choke? But yeah, you pull it out sort of thing. But anyway, so let's go back to this thing. So assembling furniture. It is confusing without instructions. You feel lost until you discover the little booklet that makes sense of everything. Mary and Joseph faced a situation far more confusing than furniture instructions, something miraculous, unprecedented, unexplainable. But the Holy Spirit gave the instructions, the courage and the clarity they needed. Amen. Amen. And you know, the Holy Spirit still brings Christ into hearts today. Just as he formed Christ physically in Mary, he forms Christ spiritually in believers. Galatians 4 speaks of Christ being formed in you. That's the Spirit's work. That's the Spirit's work. Salvation isn't human effort. It's a divine initiative. Okay? It's not about what you do. It's an initiative, a divine initiative. Like the virgin birth. New birth is something done through God. God does it. God is the one who saves. When someone trusts Christ, heaven doesn't say, good job, you're saving yourself. Well done. Have a gold star. That doesn't work like that. Heaven says, behold, the Spirit has done a miracle again. Isn't it lovely to know that when someone gives their life to Jesus, there is a party in heaven. There is a party in heaven because someone has given their life to Jesus. And that's a big party. Thank goodness we haven't got to provide the budget for that one. And then the silent worker reveals Christ to people today. Luke 2 says the Spirit was upon him, revealing to him and leading him. Simeon recognized the Saviour when the rest of the temple saw only an ordinary baby. The Spirit convicts and draws people to Christ. Jesus said the Spirit would convict the world. Would convict the world of sin, righteousness and judgment. Without the Spirit, people may know the story of Christmas, but miss the Saviour of Christ. The Spirit gives new birth. Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born again, born of the Spirit." We don't get to heaven by church attendance. Okay, I'm telling you now, you don't get to heaven by church attendance. Good works or Christian heritage. Oh, my mum and dad believed, and my nan and granddad believed, and then my great nan and granddad, because they do, I do. No. Only the Spirit can create new life. We can teach someone the mechanics of flying. Do you know that? Airplanes. We can teach them the lift, the thrust, the drag, but that doesn't enable them to fly. Birds don't fly because they study textbooks. They fly because the life within them equips them to do so. People can study Jesus, memorize Bible verses, attend church, but without the saving, life-giving Spirit, they cannot rise into salvation. Only the Spirit makes us spiritually alive. The Spirit sends us as witnesses. Anna told everyone about the child. Simeon praised God publicly. Christmas is always followed by proclamation. The Spirit who reveals Christ in us also wants to reveal Christ through us. To our families, to our neighbours, our co-workers, and the world. So what can we take away? What can we take away? We need to remember that the silent worker of Christmas, who is the Holy Spirit, was there before the manger, preparing hearts. At the manger, bringing Christ into the world. And after the manger, revealing Jesus to those who sought him. Today, he is still softening hearts, convicting us of sin, opening eyes, giving new birth, empowering believers, and sending us into a lost world. The same Spirit at the Nativity is present this Christmas. Do you know that? Good. The same Spirit that was then is here now, drawing people to Jesus. If the Spirit is stirring your heart today, showing you your need for forgiveness, awakening faith, pointing you to Christ, then don't delay. Don't delay. The Christ who was born in Bethlehem wants to be born in your heart through new birth. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Come to Christ. Trust him as Saviour. Let the Holy Spirit bring you into new life. The Holy Spirit, though a silent worker, is a powerful worker. He will fall on us in this season. So as you prepare, in your busyness, because we get busy, don't we? It ramps up as you get nearer and nearer. But the Spirit is there, looking to reveal Jesus, looking to reveal the Saviour, to birth something new in you. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. Let me tell you, that doesn't excuse you. He can still birth new things in you. So open your hearts, open your minds, and allow the Spirit, the silent witness, to stir you again. In my article, I did a little note for the notice sheet about Joseph's journey, because in this week's Advent study, it's about the journey of Joseph. We too journey, don't we, day by day. We are fortunate today to have the Spirit with us. He is our comforter. He is our accompanier. He will journey with you. He will journey with you. He's journeying with the people that are on our Alpha course at the moment. And we pray that all those who come to our Alpha course would have that relationship with Jesus. We pray that for all of us. All those people that you will hopefully invite to our Christmas services. I pray that from today you will be praying, God, stir in my heart. Who should I be inviting? We've got 1,000 invites. We've given some out, but we've still got lots left. Please take some today with you. Don't just think, oh, I'm comfortable. I don't need to invite anybody. This is my church. Great, it's your church, but it needs to be their church too. Because actually, Jesus is important to people's eternal destiny. Listen to the quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit. And maybe give a leaflet to someone you know or someone you don't. Stand up for Jesus, because he stood up for you. He came and he died for this world. We're going to take a moment just to be quiet. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He is the silent worker. So maybe he's been working in your hearts as I've been speaking. Before we come to the table, before we come to recognize what Jesus has done, let's take a moment to be still and quiet and allow God, through his Spirit, to maybe speak to us. Father, we thank you that your Spirit was present before the manger in preparing hearts. That you were at the manger bringing Christ into the world. And that you still today are seeking to reveal Jesus to those who don't yet know him. So, Father, we pray in this season of Advent, as we wait on you, you would speak to us in our homes, Lord. You're not limited to being just here. The Spirit moves. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us in our daily living, whether that's in our homes, in our social activities, in our work, in our time with family, with friends, around a meal table. Please speak to us. Give us those occasions, Lord, like earlier years when people's hearts were strangely warmed. Do that in us today. And stir us into action, Lord God. In your name.